Today marks the 50th anniversary of the first Earth Day back in 1970. Much has changed since then, from climate science to renewable energy. Noah Glick spoke with Dr. Kristen Averett, Nevada State Climate Policy Coordinator, to see how things have evolved since then.
Dr. Averett, thank you so much for joining us. You are Nevada's first state climate policy coordinator. So what does a state climate policy coordinator do exactly, and what have you been tasked with?
Right. So, you know, one of the most important things that I'm going to be doing is working with teams across the different state agencies to really coordinate the ramp up for our climate strategy. And the climate strategy was actually defined in the executive order issued by Governor Sisolak last November. And it needs to be delivered December 1st. And we're really just looking to really use that as a springboard to really launch our efforts across the state, really focused on addressing the issues around climate change. And so that is task number one on my list, the climate strategy.
You started the job in early March. So how has it been going so far, given the current pandemic we're in? And I guess, how is it different than what you expected?
Well, I think, you know, given that it is an entirely new position and we are framing it in some ways as we move along, of course, there were going to be challenges. And this is just another hurdle that we need to overcome. But, you know, in a lot of ways, the current situation, the pandemic, it's really highlighted the importance of science-informed policymaking and science-informed decisions. And I think more now than ever, it gives us the opportunity to really point to what the scientists have been saying about climate change and it and really the gravity and the importance that we act.
You mentioned the state climate plan, which is set for delivery on December 1st of this year. I'm just curious, is that still on track for that date and what will be included in that plan?
Right. So one important thing to understand about the climate strategy is that it's going to be a living document, and it's not intended to be the end all and be all of everything that we need to do to address climate change in the state. The idea is that we really want to make sure that it's setting the stage for a long-term engagement and a long-term dialogue around the challenges related to climate change. And quite honestly, there's a lot that we need to do. And even though this position, for example, that I have the opportunity to hold right now sits within the Department of Conservation and Natural Resources, it is intended to really integrate across all of the agencies, because this really is an all hands on deck issue when it comes to climate. So I could imagine that in this particular report, we'll contemplate several different policy options, particularly related to mitigating our greenhouse gas emissions. In the last legislature, we adopted ambitious greenhouse gas reduction targets, and we need to make sure that we're on track to meet those goals. But I also intend that we will be addressing what are the different areas that we need to pay attention to with respect to developing climate resilience in our communities.
I want to talk about climate change. There have been several reports out there looking at how climate change impacts public health, and that was before COVID-19 came along. So I'm curious, what kind of effect does climate change have on public health broadly, and how has that changed based on what we know about COVID-19?
Right. Well, there's a robust body of literature that, you know, climate geeks like me like to read that really points to the impacts on public health of climate change. And I think for our communities, one of the things that we really need to pay attention to is urban heat and how hot it gets in our cities. By several different measures, Reno and Las Vegas are among the fastest warming cities in the United States. And granted, only a fraction of that warming, somewhere around a third, can be attributed to climate change. But nonetheless, it really exposes our populations in those places to a lot of different challenges. Number one, just flat out heat. The hottest days in down here in Las Vegas, for example, we get about 5 days a year above 115 degrees. By the turn of the century, we're looking at maybe 50 days above 115 degrees. And you can imagine what that could do just to an individual who perhaps has to work outside. Another concern is air quality. There is a very interesting interaction, and it's fairly complex, between air quality and climate change. But climate change exacerbates air quality, and we know that we have issues both in Reno and in Las Vegas with our air quality that we have been addressing, but we need to do better.
I want to ask you about some of the challenges you're facing, given that the priority right now is COVID-19. Do you feel like you'll need to compete for resources, whether that's funding or staffing, to kind of figure out the next climate stage for the state?
I think there's a lot of different things to consider. I think everybody is going to be figuring out how are we going to continue on some of the priorities that we had prior to the pandemic, while making sure that we are addressing what is one of the key issues impacting not just our society here in Nevada, but globally. One of the things about climate change is addressing climate action can actually help us with this pandemic in multiple ways. The first, actually, it really goes back to your public health question. There is some interesting research that just came out of Harvard, for example, that actually shows that in places where people were exposed to problematic air quality across the United States, those folks were also more likely to succumb to the impacts of COVID-19. And it is also, as I mentioned, there's a connection between climate change and air quality. So by addressing our climate issues, by reducing emissions, making sure that we have smart, affordable housing, affordable green housing in our cities, that can help us to make sure that all parts of our communities are more resilient to the impacts of climate and other diseases in the future. And the second, perhaps, another really important component is we need, and I expect we are going to be continuing down the trajectory of diversifying our economy. And we have tremendous opportunity in our state to really make a mark in the clean energy sector. We're number two in the U.S. in terms of electricity generation associated with geothermal, for example. We also have the number one potential for solar in the U.S. And both of those are job creators. So we can play a role in both the economic and really in the social solutions to something like COVID.
You bring up an interesting point. How much would you say economic forces play into climate policy?
I think they're incredibly important. And if you look at the global markets, for example, regardless of what policy actions we may or may not take at the federal level as it relates to investments in clean energy tech, for example, we are seeing that overseas. And that has really been driving the market. And there have been dramatic increases prior to, of course, the pandemic in the clean energy job sector. And I think those are going to rebound eventually, along with the rest of our economy. And if we're going to take advantage of the opportunity and really be there to capitalize on it, I think Nevada has a tremendous opportunity in that space.
So Earth Day is 50 years old today. How has the climate and climate policy changed since that first Earth Day back in 1970?
Well, I would say 50 years ago, we were still debating on climate change, and it was still kind of a question that was out there in the scientific community. But today, it is absolutely crystal clear to the experts that we need to act on climate and that our planet is getting hotter, and we need to act immediately. And so the science has come a long way, and I think there's a particular reason that the global theme this year is climate action on the 50th anniversary of Earth Day.
What action or actions would you say would make the biggest difference in terms of fighting climate change?
There's a lot that we need to contemplate in terms of the trade-offs and really what investments we want to make and what are going to be the trade-offs in terms of reducing our greenhouse gas emissions. And I think this is a lot of what we need to contemplate as we're moving in or through this climate strategy process. And not just before December 1st, but really have ongoing discussions about what are going to be the best policy options for us to pursue. We do know that the transportation sector is the number one emitter of greenhouse gases in the state. And we have adopted, again, ambitious emissions targets or reduction targets, which net zero by 2050. So we really need to be just doing everything and anything that we can. But there are going to be certain sectors that we need to look pretty closely at.
The state of Nevada is likely going to be facing some significant budget shortfalls this year. I'm just wondering, have you seen any impacts in your work? Are you looking ahead to what you might have to do with less funding?
Of course, that's something that everybody is contemplating right now with respect to the budget realities and really just the economic realities across the U.S. and globally. That said, there have been a lot of people all over the world paying attention to climate and doing everything that we can. And the one thing is, those folks are really smart and tremendously innovative, particularly the ones working here in the state of Nevada. So I'm really still optimistic that even in a budget crunch, people realize, particularly now more than ever, that the science is telling us we need to do something and we need to act, and that this should be among our priorities. And again, I do believe climate action can help us prepare for if there is, God forbid, another pandemic, but also help take us repair our economy and rebuild by diversifying into the clean energy sector.
I want to take the crystal ball out for a second. In your view, what does the climate future look like, and how will we get there?
You know, that's a great question. And I think those of us that work on the on the forefront of addressing climate issues, work on climate science and work in climate policy, you know, you don't want to get down. And even though the future can look somewhat glib and we know that it's going to be hotter and there will be problems associated with it, we have some really smart people all around the world and in the state of Nevada that are paying attention and doing something about this issue. And I'm really optimistic because, you know, innovation, technology, and just the intellectual assets here can really take us a long way moving forward.
Dr. Kristen Averett is the State Climate Policy Coordinator for the state of Nevada. And for KUNR News, I'm Noah Glick.
Noah Glick is KUNR's reporter for the Mountain West News Bureau.